A number of years ago, we lived in Chicago in this like a sixplex apartment, and we were kind of one building back from Foster Avenue. Foster Avenue was very, very, very busy, about four lanes of traffic pretty much all the time. And so from time to time, when Foster would get really, really stuffed with traffic, cars would be coming down the alleyway that was right off of our sixplex. I mean, like you have like kind of like little dining room, window, you know, and there's alleyway, cars just right there. And at the time, Lauren was about 1 year old. Now, who either remembers having kids that young or your grandkids that young, right? You remember this. And you know that when your kids are, you know, 1 year old, 2 years old, like nap time and sleep, it is a precious thing, isn't it? For everyone in the house. I remember it would take a long time sometimes to get Lauren to fall asleep. And so you do all these little tricks. My personal favorite is I would hold her and I would blow on her eyelids. You can thank me later, young parents. Because then, you know, her eyes would get a little sleepy from that. Because you know, if you can get those eyelids closed for about 20 seconds, they're out. Right. Anyways, but sleep was this really precious thing. And so you combine nap time and the problem that we occasionally had in this alleyway, of course, of cars just come flying down this alleyway because they're trying to avoid all this traffic. And some of these cars, they would come with a, you ever heard like downtown city car stereos? You know, boom, boom, boom. I love the sound of an 808 as much as anyone. But, you know, they're coming down this alleyway and literally, you know, the remember, honey? You know, like the pictures on the wall would shake. And most importantly, our daughter would wake up. So, after a day where a number of those things that were happening, I was leaving the apartment and I was heading off to class just a couple of blocks away, and the same car that had come down this alleyway at high speed, loudly, the last two times passed me again. And so as I'm coming out the back alleyway in a really Christian way, I said to them, "Slow down, I yelled at him, right? And so then, but the car just kept going, and then something came over me, and the only thing I had in my hand at that time was a water bottle. And I just, I throw it, boom, it hits the back of the car. The car comes to a halt. The guy gets out of the car. I remember him being larger than I had anticipated. And I realized in that moment, I really don't have a plan for what's up next. Well, he began to say to me, "Raw, raw, 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 raw." Well, actually with some verbal version of that. And so I responded to him in a deeply Christian way. Of course, you know, "Knock it off, you know, you're speeding down here and there's kids." And there was a playground just right off of the alleyway. I'm like, "There could be kids on that." There weren't any kids on the playground at the moment, but let's just work with it, okay? "There are kids on the playground." And thankfully, there was no damage to the car. And you know that because I'm still here. But... only reason I tell that story, one, it's a story from long enough ago that it doesn't involve any of you, but two, yeah, all of us, I imagine, have had moments that we felt angry, like really angry. Anger is this really powerful emotion. We're told that when we get angry, you know, you feel that rising up in you. I mean, your adrenaline glands are pumping, your muscles get tense, your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up, your senses get greater, which is why you can wing a water bottle really fast on a moving car if it's in just the right moment. It's like a biological superpower that God has given us. You know, anger is an incredibly powerful emotion. But we've also been learning over the last couple of weeks that, you know, there's a spiritual component to our emotions, that God is spirit, God has emotions. So there's some spiritual connection to these things that we feel inside of us. We have emotions because we are made in the image and likeness of God. God has emotions. We're made in his image. Therefore, we have emotions. We are broken image bearers. We have emotions because God has emotions, but doesn't mean that every emotion we feel is going to be expressed perfectly because we are broken, actually at times desperately broken, which is why it is all the more important as we look at this topic of anger and what it means to be channeling anger, that we dive into God's Word and see what God's Word actually teaches us about anger. Because one of the misconceptions, and maybe you've kind of run into this one in your life, is that Christians don't get angry. Because we are all nice. Let's look around. These are nice people. They don't get angry ever. And so it's important that we know what the Bible actually teaches us about anger. So here's the first thing that we need to know is that God gets angry. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation just because it uses the word anger. Sometimes it's the same idea is translated as wrath. But God shows his anger, Romans 1, 18, from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. We learn that godly anger is a response to evil and injustice. God gets angry at the things that hurt people. God gets angry at the things that hurt the world. But God doesn't necessarily get angry in the way that we get angry. We're going to learn that there's a difference between human anger and godly anger, and that we, as broken image bearers, we carry both of those things in our hearts, which is why it's important that we really learn how to figure out this anger stuff. But God gets angry. God gets angry. And Jesus got angry. Did you know that? The most loving, self-sacrificial person ever in the history of humanity, divine humanity, God in the bod, God, that same Jesus got angry. The most famous story of that we see in Jesus in the clearing of the temple. John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. In the temple courts, Jesus found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he, Jesus, made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers, and he overturned the tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Christ got angry. As followers of Jesus, it is reasonable to assume that we also can get angry. So I just want to spend the few minutes that we have this morning talking about what are some things that we can do when we find ourselves angry. So we've got a little insert here, so you can follow along with that. And if for some reason you didn't get an insert and you would like one, just put your hand up, and one of our amazing ushers will get that to you. If you're following online, it's in some of the notes. If you go to message notes, especially columbiagrove.org/message notes, you can get all of these. But there's a shorthand version in some of the all the stuff around the video. Anyways. But so here's the first thing that we need to know, and that we need to be thinking about when we're looking at what it means to channel anger, like to use anger in appropriate, godly ways. Here's the first thing we need to know, is that express your anger to God first. First. We see examples of this throughout the scriptures, especially in the Psalms. Now, so there's examples on the sheet of a variety of what are called psalms of anger or the imprecatory psalms. But I wanted us to take a look at Psalm 109, the first 15 verses. This is the Psalm of David. So David, a guy who's known as a man after God's own heart, he is this arguably the greatest king of Israel. And, well, he pours his heart out to the Lord, even when his heart is angry. So we're just going to read some of that, okay? And if you've never read this part of the Bible before, this might come as a bit of a surprise. But it's important that we know about this, because there's actually, I mean, dozens and dozens of passages like it, where God gives us a blueprint for telling him off when life gets especially hard. Okay, Psalm 109, 1 through 15. My God, who I praise, do not remain silent, for people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. You ever been falsely accused? Well, I have. Hurts every single time. Verse 5, they repay me evil for evil and hatred for my friendship. Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Oh, really? Okay. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty. May his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. God, get him. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruit of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, and may he blot out their names from the earth. God, get him, 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 punish him. God, you get him, get him. And it keeps going. And if David sounds angry in this passage, it's because he is. He's really angry. But it's important to remember that the first place he puts his anger is towards God. Remember that old song from the 80s? Shout, shout, let it all out. Some of you, I see some heads bobbing that I wouldn't expect to see some heads bobbing. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I'm a kid of the 80s. So now that is not necessarily bad advice, except for this. I mean, what's the point in just shouting out your frustration to some nameless, you know, cosmos when you could have a direct audience with the creator of everything? The God of the universe invites you to come into his throne room in prayer, to lay out your case before him. One who can see everything, who knows your situation, their situation, and he can handle it. He can handle your rage. So express it to him first. There's a place to vent. God says, vent first with me. Now, it can also be wise to get some trusted friends and talk to some safe people about what you're feeling. That's a good thing to do. It can also be good to, you know, get a punching bag, go for a run. All that adrenaline that's in our bodies, it can be good to work that out. That's good too. But for the spiritual component of your anger, God says, bring it to me. And he gives us psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm to tell us and show us how to do that. Now, I imagine for some of you what you are thinking, you know, as you hear this, you know, we're reading a psalm, and yeah, that psalm sounds kind of angry, Pastor, that's really nice. But you need to know, when I'm really mad, I'm not using church words. I want to let you in on something and this isn't really a secret about Bible translation, it's just a reality of Bible translation, is that when when the Bible is being translated from its original language to English, kind of like, you know, in here, you know, David would be writing this in Hebrew, and we now have it in English so we can understand what's being said. You know, those translations are accurate and they're trustworthy. I mean, the deeper you look into the scholarship of biblical translation, and I hope you do, the more you'll trust it. The Bible is an incredible, incredible work, and the modern translations are incredibly accurate and truthful. And here's something that is important to remember. There are times when you can say the same thing different ways, all of which would be truthful and accurate. And because Bible translators, kind of like pastors, like to keep their jobs, when there's a choice of various words that all of which would be truthful and accurate, they will often tend to use the word or phrase that is most emotionally neutral. It's truthful, but it's emotionally neutral. It's not unnecessarily spicy. Let me illustrate. Imagine you're walking along down the sidewalk, perhaps, next to your apartment, and you, stepped in some doggy business. Hate that. It's just gonna kind of wipe that off. It's gross. If I was gonna describe doggy business, I could use a euphemism like doggy business. I could use a medically accurate term like doggy scat. That's medically accurate. That is truthful. That would be a true expression of what I have just experienced. There's also other words I could use. And you are familiar with those, some of those words. I can think of one. Some of you are really advanced. You can think of like three or four. But those words that you would use for this, some of those word choices would be spicy. You know what I mean. It's important to remember that as you are reading these passages of Scripture, as David and other writers are pouring out their anger to God, the original language was spicy. There are times in your life where you need military-grade language. You know what I mean. And I am not saying for a second that those are words that you should be using on a regular basis. And I think those, you know, especially if somebody's using that, words like that a lot, it either reveals that they're quite ignorant or extremely broken. But there are a few times where it's appropriate. And believe it or not, and some of you won't believe me with this, I know that. The God of the universe invites us, when those are the only ways we can express what is on our heart, which to use military-grade language, to use high school hallway language, you know what I mean, right? He says, give that to me. Honest prayers. Honest prayers are very often not pretty at all. So when you find yourself with all that anger stirring up in you, the first thing to remember, give it to God. He really can handle it. He really can. He already knows your thinking. He knows what you're feeling. Why not just talk to him? Because it's as we express those things, as we vent to God in safe, appropriate ways, it allows the second step to begin to happen. And this is actually the step that we need to talk about in terms of anger, but it's really with every other emotion as well. That's the whole point of this series. And that's that, let God help you process your anger. Let God help you process your emotion. That's why I'm encouraging you to do something that, I mean, has become this a daily habit for me. It's just somewhere in my time of prayer, my time with him, to have a phrase, something a little bit like, God, right now I am feeling. And just to become aware of what I'm feeling and begin to express it to the Lord. A famous New Testament passage about anger is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Many of you probably already know it. But I wanted us to look at that idea in a larger context so we can kind of see what's really being said here. So let's turn for a moment to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. So Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind. To put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So it's this larger idea of like submitting the entirety of who we are to the Lord. You know, God loves you just exactly as you are. And he loves you enough that as you give your life to him, he will not leave you as you are. He will make you new, just like we just sang about. You know, who the Son sets free, I'm free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am who you say I am. We need to learn who we are in Christ, and it will change us. It will change us. Let me get to verse 25. "Therefore, because of this, because you are brand new people, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Verse 26, "In your anger, do not sin. And do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." We've heard this passage before. In your anger, do not sin. Remember, anger is not a sin. Anger can lead to sin. There's ways we can respond to anger that are sin. But anger itself is not a sin. But it's not so helpful sometimes to just say, well, so then don't be angry. That's why God gives us a whole lot more detail on this. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." So we express it to the Lord, and then we ask God, "Lord, help me to process my emotion. Help me to understand what it means." Because the anger, it's a secondary emotion. It's a powerful emotion, but it's a secondary emotion. And it's a response to other things that are going on under, you know, under even deeper underneath the surface. And just to illustrate a little bit. So I don't think I'm colorblind, though guys are more genetically predispositioned to be colorblind, but I am certain I am color ignorant because I live in a household of amazing women. And I have learned things. I am learning things. Like, for example, if we have a type of paint. Here's a paint. I would look at that paint and I would say, that paint is yellow. Because it's kind of yellow. It's, there's some other. And my dear wife would say, no, it's not. I say, it really kind of looks yellow to me. She said, no, you see how there's some orange in there? This color is goldenrod. I have to write this down. There are more colors than just blue, green, yellow, red, purple, and gray, and black, and white. Did you know this? It is so cool. There's a whole spectrum of color. And the amazing women in my life are teaching me to recognize... You know that's true. Teaching me to recognize these shades of color. There's colors in between the colors. There's colors that aren't totally yellow and not totally orange, and they're in between, and one of them is goldenrod. Isn't that the coolest thing? Some of you guys, you're going to be writing this down. But here's why I bring this one up is because, see, sometimes this is true for me, and this is I'm gonna make a generalization. I know this is not true for all men, but I think it's true in more often for men. Is that it's harder sometimes for us to understand the spectrum of emotion. Like there's times in my life, if you were to ask me how I'm doing, I would basically have two options. I am good, or I am angry. You know, there's I'm good, or I'm angry, I'm good, or I'm frustrated. But I'm coming to discover there's a spectrum in between. That there's good, and there's versions of good. I'm feeling joyful, I'm feeling grateful, I'm feeling thankful. And similarly with the bad, it's not just I'm frustrated or I'm angry. I have new words, like I'm sad or I'm discouraged. There's a spectrum. So as we're looking to process, you know, these emotions before the Lord, one of the really powerful question to ask is, God, why am I angry? Why am I angry? Show me why I'm angry. Because there's going to be multiple possibilities of sources. We talked about one of them last week. Sometimes we are angry because we're grieving. We're grieving. You know, we feel powerless because of loss in our life. It's like, I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry. I feel powerless. I want to feel powerful. I feel angry. Give me something to be angry at. I'm just looking for something to be angry at because I'm grieving. Because I'm grieving. That's one possibility. Sometimes I'm angry because I'm just annoyed. You know, like in the case of the car going down the alleyway, I'm just annoyed. I really don't like that some yahoo is going to wake up our daughter and rattle the pictures off the wall. I'm just annoyed. But sometimes anger has a deeper source as well. And this is where we talk about godly anger. Because anger is also a response to injustice. So it can be helpful. Can we put that slide up on the screen? Just some of the options so we can kind of write that down. There are sometimes you have your anger that is because of, it's about two slides ahead. There we go. Thank you. You know, from sadness, or I'm just personally annoyed, but sometimes it's because of an injustice. Now, in that particular, you know, the case of the yahoo driving down our alleyway, on some level there was a bit of an injustice. I mean, he's driving right next to a kid's playground. That's a problem that needs to get solved, or a child could get hurt. Now, granted, just winging water bottles at a car isn't going to solve it. But you know, when you start to pray about it, Lord, why am I angry? Sometimes he can show you things that you can actually do about it. Well, like in the example I just gave, you can probably imagine several things that you could do that are different than just randomly tossing stuff at cars. In this case, this was on school property. You know, you could go and do like what we did, which is meet up with some other neighbors and actually make a bit of a petition to put in some speed bumps on the alleyway, which, by the way, solved the problem. It is a little emotionally gratifying when that first lowrider with the really massive stereo comes along and discovers there's a speed bump. I'm not sure that was a Christian emotion, but it felt good. I'm just saying. Man, that was nice. But my point is it the reason why God has given us anger is because it's intended to be just like godly anger At its best, it is a response to injustice. It's a superpower that he gives us so that we can help at least do our little tiny part of making wrong things right and bad things better. So Lord, why am I angry? Am I just grieving? In which case, I need to let it go. I feel powerless. I hate feeling powerless, but the truth is I am with a lot of things. There's a lot of this life that I cannot control, and I've got to let it go. I've got to trust it to the one who is all-powerful and can handle it. Am I just personally annoyed? In which case, I got to let it go. Not everything that makes me mad is an injustice in the world. Sometimes I just like it when life is easier for me. I like it when our kid is able to take a nap undisturbed because it's easier for me. And it's better for them too, but it's easier for me. So Lord, why am I angry? Because then we can take, you know, once we've expressed it, we've vented out the worst of it to the Lord, and he can handle it. We've asked God to help us process it, and he does. It's beautiful. Then we can move into that, what I would say to you is step three, is that we can use good anger to right wrongs. You know, even in the Jesus story, we're reminded that, you know, as Jesus was angry, he was looking to solve a problem in the temple. He wasn't there to whip people. He was there to make the temple better. So if you're filling in blanks on the little sheet, you could something, you know, just remember that when you're angry, sometimes you do need to flip tables, but we never need to flip people. People matter to God. Or Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it reminds us this in a much more powerful way. For our struggle, Paul writes, just a little bit later in the same great letter about, you know, where he talks about anger, and in your anger do not sin. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. There is a real enemy out there, church. Do you know this? And it's not the person who's the back of the head that you're staring at. It's not your neighbor. It's not necessarily the person of the opposing political party either. That's not your true enemy. We have one. He hates you. Maybe if we could give our emotions to the Lord, we'll be just a little less offended at every random thing that comes down our path and find ourselves getting more angry, more productively angry on the things that really matter. Like right now, Satan's youth group is growing quickly. And God's is getting smaller and smaller. We are about to lose the next generation. Church. Because so often the next generation looks at us and says, I don't even see love there. Get angry about that. Lord, help me to be angry at the right things. So what emotions do you need to give to the Lord today? Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's your sadness. Maybe it's your frustration. Will you? Could you? I got to be honest, I'm still learning how to pray those kinds of real, raw prayers. It feels really weird to drop F-bombs in your prayer life. And I'm not saying to be just unnecessarily crass. Please, please hear me. Please hear me. I'm not glorifying vulgar language. I don't mean to that for a moment. I just mean to say God really wants to hear your heart. He really wants to hear your heart. And sometimes our hearts are messy. And he still wants to hear your heart. Do you realize how much he loves you? What emotions do you need to give to God? Give it to him. Find safe places to express them. Give them to him. Give them to him. Give them to him. He can take it. He can help you to process it. He can help you to make sense of it. He can turn all that into something that actually can be constructive. So what emotions do you need to give to the Lord today? Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Just invite us to bow our heads and this might be a moment under your breath where you just start to express some of these things. I realize for the really big, deep stuff, it's going to take some time. You might need to find a safe place to really let it out. But we can start today. What are you feeling today? What are you feeling right now? Can you give it to the Lord? He can take it. Give it to the Lord. And if for some reason there's somebody here that hasn't yet begun even that fundamental relationship with God, and sometimes it's even those things like, God, well, I feel like I need to get my life figured out before I come to you. I want to just reassure you today, God is not looking for you to get your life cleaned up before you come to him. He's saying, bring me all of the garbage. Bring me all of the filth. I sent my son to die on the cross for all of it. Just give it to me, and I will start the process of making you a new person. So if you haven't yet taken that step, I just invite you to ask Christ into your life. God, this is what I'm feeling. I've got to give it to you. I believe that you love me. I believe that through Jesus, you have forgiven me. I believe that through him, I am offered a brand new life in you, a whole new identity in you. God, I want that so bad. I give it to you. I give you my garbage. And thank you that you give me your gold in return. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Whatever you're feeling today, give it to him. Give it to him. God, thank you that you can handle what we have to give. You see through all the mess, all the anger. You can take it. You can sort it out. You can even turn it into something good if we'll let you. Work in me. Jesus, just invite you, pray that under your breath. Work in me. Work in me today, God. Meet me in my anger. Meet me in my grief. Meet me in my joy. Meet me in my sadness. I give it to you. I give myself to you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that together this can be a safe place for us to get real with you. We need you, Lord. We need you. And so we pray all these things in the name of the one who gave himself for us so that we can give him all that we are back in return, even all the messy parts. Especially all the messy parts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.